Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is February 13th, 2017. It is a Monday morning. Not as hard a Monday morning as I thought it was going to be. I was at the Conscious Life Expo all weekend, and it had everybody had booths there that either did what I do or do a form of some kind of instinctive, inspirational, guided light work all in one place. And this show that I'm doing today about instincts, how do we tap into our instincts and how do we know it is our instinct? I was in a room of vendors and people who did nothing but trust their instinct, even when they thought it was weird or off. And I thought to myself, you know, instinct is something very, very subtle. It's in us and it's kind of quiet, but it does guide us because we just do something. We go, I don't know what made me do that. I don't know why I wanted that. I don't know why I asked for that. I don't know why I thought that. But there's a reason why we think these things, do these things, want these things, and not other things. We have instincts and we've relied on our instincts so little that when they tell us something, we don't even want to hear what it says because it's going to take us off of what we think we want to do. But yet what we think we want to do, once we've done it, we realize we don't want to do it. And we say, you know what, in the beginning, my instinct tried to stop me and I didn't listen to it. So why is it that we don't want to hear it? Because what it tells us usually interferes with the best laid out plan. Nope, I want to go out with that woman. Nope, I want that kind of job. Imagine going out to an area, anywhere. I travel a lot. Imagine me going to a place and not having a Google map, not having any map, and I just land in Italy. How do I know where I'm going? If I have to go speak there or I have to go do something there. Yet since we let our instincts go, how do we know when it's our instinct guiding us? And what a great kind of show to do. At first I thought, oh, you know what? I've been talking to my listeners for a long time, and they know about their instincts. And I thought, no, if I was renewed by knowing more, then we all need this talk. So what happened was, I was going to go Friday. I didn't. I went Saturday and Sunday because Friday didn't start till late. And we had a bad rainstorm here. And I thought, there's nothing that's happening there Friday that I need to see because it's going to take me about 3 hours to get there for a 45-minute ride. And everything was jammed. It was just crazy in L.A. And so I stayed home, and I had a client that I met with, and this family, a very strict family from a very strict religion, and raised a certain way, and money, and this, and that, and everything is there. But son who was hurt in his life, through relationships, but nobody realized why. I knew that, but they just said, my son is a drug addict. What do I do? Tell me what to do. Is he going to stay a drug addict, Nadia? Is he going to be okay? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? I said, what do you think I am? I said, keep talking to me. Let me hear you. Let me know the details. Tell me what's going on. I can't read your mind, and I'm never going to pretend to. So they started giving me the gruesome details of his behavior and how they put him in rehab and he came out and thought he was ready, went back to work, and on the way to work stopped and bought some drugs and thought, you know, everyone thinks they're stronger than the drugs, because normally people who first get into this mindset never believe that anything is stronger than them, especially when they're under the influence. So either way, after I was there, I listened. And I said, it's not the drugs he wants. It's the pain he's covering point. You have to address the pain only after you get him off the drugs. And he's got to go to rehab. And not just for 30 days or 2 weeks, because he did not get his habit in 30 days or 2 weeks. You have to put him in, and I know this sounds extreme, but at the very least, 6 months. Mother looked at me and she said, no way. How would he leave work that long? He will never agree to it. I said, that's what I know, and I can't help it. She said, do you think he's going to die? I said, that's, you know, you're asking me a question and asking me to put myself out there. I said, but he doesn't want to die. He just doesn't want to feel pain, the kind of pain he's feeling. And when I said that, I got very quiet. I couldn't talk. I felt his pain. I said to the mother, just with a nod in my head. And I brought some peace into the situation by not treating it as a fire alarm. I just told her the truth. So then she asked me some more questions, and I said, your best bet is this happens as soon as possible. And I said, a year from now, that I could see for whatever reason. And I trusted my instinct enough to tell her, and thank God I did. I said, he will be saying when I was addicted to drugs. Can you imagine? She looked at me like, I believe you. I said, he wants to get caught. He wants to get busted. He wants to be free of this, but he's so deep in it, he can't get out. So then, Saturday, while I'm at the convention, my phone is blowing up, text after text, call me, all this stuff. I don't know if you guys know what it's like in conventions, but phones go dead. It's unbelievable. You're in a hotel. I was lucky my texts were being sent. I was lucky for that. So I would text her and say, please text me. Please text me. I can't speak. I need to speak to you. Please text me. I can't speak. I literally would have had to leave the building and go out where, like, valet parking was, which in a hotel was far away for me to get to. And finally she says, my son is missing. No one can find him. It's his birthday today. I said, wow, it's his birthday. Interesting. Something's going to happen. She goes, do you think he's dead? I said, no. I already told you he wanted to live, unless he did something by accident, but he's not dead. Are you sure? I am devastated. Are you sure? We cannot find him anywhere. I said, call the people who've been working with him. And that's not what usually happens in these times. They have experience in that. But he's not dead. I get off the phone, or not the phone, the texting, and I go back to doing what I'm doing. And I'm just walking around, and I go, God, I'm so sure he's not, but how do I tell people this in a time where anything can happen? And how do I know? And Christ said, trust. She needs to feel, not the boy. Listen to what Christ said. She needs to feel the depth of her love for her family because all along she's never stuck her neck out for her children. And I go, wow, look at that perspective. Her son is a drug addict. He's not going to die. But look at to the level that God will take us to find ourselves through each other and the people we love. So then, again, another squeak, call me. I can't call her. I said, I'm really sorry. I'm working right now. I'm talking over music. If you text me, I can help you. Because then I will know what's going on. And she never wants to. She just wants to talk. And when she does talk, she asks me the same question 5, 6, 7 times over and over again. I have to say, I've answered that twice. I've answered that now 3 times. I've answered that now 4 times. Now tell me what I answered so that I know you know the answer. So what happened was she texted me and she said, you found my son. He was arrested for a misdemeanor charge, and we are now taking him to a facility in another state. He was released from his job. They gave him a great severance. They were good to him, but they got rid of him because he was a drug addict. And he went on a drug spree. And he was driving, and thank God a policeman stopped him and arrested him. Because now he was safe in the custody of the police, which is exactly where he belonged for those few minutes, for the day. And it also gave them the avenue to get him help. So it all happened over this weekend. I was thinking in about 2 weeks, because you know how Christ is. Every time he tells me something, by the time it happens, I've forgotten I've even... addressed it right away. And then I go, thank you. But my gut was questioned. I was questioning my instinct. So how do you recognize when you have that instinct? Well, first of all, we all have it. Second of all, we all know what it sounds like because it's the voice of reason, the voice of balance, the voice of you can do this, take it slow. You can do this. Start. You can do this. Do it. Try it. Give yourself time. Be patient with yourself. All the stuff that takes us and gives us that fear and that doubt and that worry that interferes with our instinct, the minute it interferes with our instinct, we shut our instinct down and then we just do whatever we're going to do and then we come back and we go back to our instinct. That's the pattern that we follow. Should I finish school or shouldn't I? You know if you should finish school or you shouldn't. Some people get in. They've done what they think they need to do. Along the way, they get so tired of studying, so tired of something all over their life that they just want to run away. But it doesn't mean they don't want to finish. Some people get a job and they're like, God, I don't know why I'm here. This doesn't look like it's a fit, but I need a job. Then you get in there and you start finding why you're there. You're being challenged either emotionally, physically, or and mentally. You're forced to grow out of your little cocoon or your comfort zone. When we are not growing and we are not thriving, our instinct tries to push us into places. And we know it. It wants us to wake up. You know, some people say, oh, you know what, today I'm just going to rest. Tomorrow I'll tackle this. I still have a day. I still have enough money to do this. I still can do that. But your instinct is like, no, this is when you look. And then when we put it off at the end of the day, we're rushing to get it done. We're rushing a month from now saying, I have to find a job in a week and I got to pay my bills because now my bills are owed and I ran out of money. And you're going through all of this stuff. You say, why didn't I do this a month ago? When you knew it was time to do it. We really have to think about what we think about. Because the things we think about for a reason. And when you give what you think about time and energy, it grows in the direction that suits you best. So what we see around us is when people went against their instinct. We all know what's best for us. We all know what's right and what's wrong for us, for each of us. We all know what works and what doesn't work. We all know that we have instinct. People say, well, how come I don't have it? And I look at them and I said, what made you come here today? So many people that have met me say, I knew I wasn't going to come here and I came. I was going to do something else. I was even talking other people out of going. One person came and said, I only came because my friend asked me to come with him. He didn't want to come alone, but I'm the one who needed this. I listened to him. And the other one's instinct was so strong, he got them both to go. It's interesting that I met this man yesterday. He wrote a book. I met two people who wrote books, and both of them gave me copies of their books. And, you know, at these kinds of events, mostly the people who've done this are the people who do this, you know, who go to these. They get booths, and they want to reach out into the world and tell them what their gift is, because now that they've discovered it. And I did want to take a minute to say good morning to everyone in chat on the Nadia Khalil Morning Show page, to Francis and Liam and Maria and Shirley. And Susan was also on the chat for a minute, but I think she got bumped off. And everybody on the page is Paul, and we have Marco, and we have Miri, and we have everybody on the page. It's hard to get them both on chat, but, you know, thank you guys for being here this morning, because I got to tell you a story about this man. His name is Zarathustra, Zarathustra. He is an Iranian man, and he has a gift of something I don't know if I heard about it before, but he does psychic surgery. Anyone who's in the chat heard that before? It was amazing to me. I think I saw, he showed me a video of what he does, because he couldn't even explain it to me other than psychic surgery, and I pull out things from people. And I thought, huh, like, what do you pull out? And he said, whatever they don't need anymore. And I don't even know how I know what that is. He goes, while I'm doing it, I could be thinking about, I have to go repair my car and tomorrow I need to do this while I'm doing it. But I do that. Can I tell you how? No. Can I tell you I do it? Yes. Can I tell you I feel it? Yes. Can I tell you that it works? Yes. People from around the world, he travels the world and does it. He said the least place he does it is in the United States. He said, I don't know what it is about the United States, but everywhere else I go, I do great. I want to be on your show. I want to talk about this. I said, you know what? I've never really had a guest on my show, especially from LA, because I start at 5:30 in the morning, which means if we're going to get together, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. He said, I'll still come on your show. I said, I would love to have you, because I would love for you to explain this intimate insight that you have into the conscience of the soul. And I see Shirley wrote, Francis heard of it. Liam never heard of it. And Shirley said, yes, I just read an article on psychic surgery a few days ago. And Francis said, there's a guy in South America called John. He's very well known for that. There are others in South Asia. So this man, I didn't know him. I was at the conference maybe, I want to say, 10 minutes, and a lady came up to the booth I was in helping sell the coffee, and Maria says she never heard of it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it, because he followed his instinct so deeply that he's helping tens of thousands of people. It's one of those things where you stand around and he quiets the room and he brings the conscious level up to a certain point to where the stuff that's bubbling in there starts to show and people start physically shaking or falling or dropping. It's amazing to see. If you just look him up, his name is Zarathustra, Zarathustra. And you look him up on YouTube, you'll see what he does. No other way to describe it. I just have to send you there. However, he wrote a book called Lightning Notes of Zarathustra. And it's a book. It's like little pages, kind of Khalil Gibran-ish. This lady saw me and said, you need to meet somebody. She was just like a customer for coffee. And I went with her and she put me in front of this man. And she said, you need to meet him. And so he looked at me and he goes, well, what do you want? And I said, I don't know. What do you want? I don't know why I'm here. She just brought me here to meet you. What do you do? And he said, well, what do you do? And I said, I write books and I write about the soul. He said, oh, you write about the soul. And I said, yeah. And then he started asking me questions about what I write about. So he turned it on me. But what I didn't know was that he was this famous guy that did all this stuff. And he never heard of me because I didn't put myself out there. But you know what he did? He trusted his instinct. And I started to ask him questions. And when I started to ask him questions, he immediately said to me, can we go somewhere and talk? I need to talk to you. And we left the floor and we went and sat on two chairs in the hotel. And he knew what was in me. Could you spell his second name again? It's Thustra, Thustra. And he puts it all in one word, Zarathustra. I hope you got that, Liam. And so we were talking, and he knew that what I was talking about, I knew. I didn't have to tell him. He knew. And I told him, I gave him a message from Christ, I guess he needed. And he knew what it meant to him. And then probably 3 minutes later, you guys, I was done. I was like, that's all I've got. He said, that's all I needed. I said, then we can go back to work. So we left each other. And he went back to, they have booths and, you know, you stand in the aisles and all this stuff. And I went back to mine and that was that. And I saw him at the end of the day and he said, you should come see me speak. I'm speaking at 8. And I said, well, you should come see me speak. I'm speaking at 8. And we both started laughing. And I said, but I'm going to go to your crowd and steal your people and put them in my crowd. And then he started laughing. He put his arm around me and we parted ways and we both went to do our speaking engagement. So then I hear you say he's handsome. Yeah, he is. It's funny. I have to tell you what I told him later. The story was just, it was amazing because what happened that day wasn't even as much. He trusted his instinct enough to come back and talk to me the next day. And he came and didn't let me go. He wanted to talk. I ended up doing a full reading, which, you guys, I found out I can do. If I just sit in front of someone and I talk to them for a few minutes, I got it. It's down. I can feel it, and I'm all over it like a cheap suit on Sunday. And he needed that. Because when you give all the time to others, who's going to give to you? And I always say, I'm the counselor's counselor. All the people who do counseling, all the people that are like priests or preachers or pastors, they're my customer in a sense. If you could imagine. Because I still do my work no matter who the person is, no matter what they've done. But sometimes the work they do is always for groups, for people. And I'm the one that's in behind them, knows them. The person, there's a person who reads the coffee cups, and they sit in a thing and people drink their coffee and they read their coffee cups. But I read the person who reads the coffee cups for them. It's interesting. I didn't even think of that till yesterday. So I see you guys found him. Take a look at his work. Really interesting. Really interesting person. So yesterday when he came and I started talking and telling him things, and I don't want to disclose what I told him because it was for him, but he's honest. He's very childlike, very young at heart, and very strong. And his biggest strength was something he followed his instinct with. Who helps you? Christ. Who helps Christ? God. Yes, I see what you say, Liam. God helps us all, and God gets our information. And that's what helps God, or feeds God, I should say. So meeting these people yesterday, I met, thousands of people there, and people flew in from different countries to come to this Conscious Life Expo. There were some booths I walked by, felt nothing. And other booths I walked by, and I felt a lot. And some, I was like, really? That's what you're doing? And I couldn't believe it. But when you talk to that person, their passion for what they do and what they believe got me interested. And so I realized that things I didn't hear about, there was people who made these geometric triangle things that you actually wear on your head like a hat. And I took a picture of it, and it was the first day, so off. The second day, I realized that they make those not out of metal, but out of this special wood. I thought, oh, wow, so there's a science to that, but why do you have to put that on your head to think or to clear something? And, you know, everybody wants to read you there. Everybody wants to do things for you there. And some you pay for, some do it for free to get you in their booth, and then they get you. And then there's other things like necklaces that are made out of vortexes and necklaces that have the sacred geometry. So I was seeing a lot of symbolism for what we know inside already. But some people want to wear a necklace that carries a lot of power, or something that carries a lot of power. So all of those tables I saw with the platinum and the gold and all these different things that people did, the things I resonated towards were the things where people just talked to me. Because for some reason, my instinct tells me that what happens to me is real. Like, I don't need anything to make it happen. All I need is you and me. But yet, we need those things because it's part of the way that gets us there. Tomorrow, I'm going to do part two on instinct because there's still so much to tell you. Thank you, Liam. I see Liam says, I love the shows where Nadia helps with stories. It's not like being in a class, but less... listening to a friend over. I feel like it is, we're doing a fireside chat. I love you guys so much. But tomorrow we will do part two of this. There's so much to tell you about how our minds work and how to trust what's in them. I love you guys. Have a great Monday. I will see you tomorrow. And really take a minute today to think about when you're doing something, what did I first think about? Because what you first thought about is your instinct. Everything else is what you want out of it. I will see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.